The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Someone says that we're 1 hour earlier than usual. This happens every year. I'm doing it at 7 p.m. Eastern Time still. But I don't know, you guys maybe are Europeans, maybe the daylight switches of time don't work the same. I don't know. I'm so confused. On top of it, Trump has abolished the DST times. What does that mean for me? I am absolutely confused. All I can do is trust my devices, my phones. I don't know what time it is. But as far as I'm concerned, in my local world, it's 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm depressed today because it really sucks how the Trump presidency will suck. I mean, we see the full overtake of Israeli interest. We see that we got this good start of about 2 or 3 weeks where Trump seemed dedicated to the American people, where the things around immigration, illegals, deportation, it seemed like it could lead to something good. But as I had predicted, it was just a smoke screen to eventually make us swallow what was to come. And what was to come is a government that pursues people ideologically. We have an InfoWar guy that was murdered, perhaps because of his InfoWar's contributions. We have someone who hasn't committed crimes, apparently, being deported. He had a green card, being deported for being a Hamas sympathizer. This is not America. This is not First Amendment protected America. And it's the overtake of the Republican Party. And I'm so depressed when I see the people on Twitter, these autist accounts that have risen, these anonymous accounts that have risen visibly to cheer on to Peter Thiel defended candidates and to always systematically cheer and be happy about Trump. We don't have a critical intellectual review of whether Trump is meeting what was expected of him, is going after Massey. Another thing, yes, John Drake says Israeli interest are the ones targeting Massey, little doubt. Yeah, we don't have an independent intellectual class capable of seeing what's happening and seeing it as the subversion that it is. And it's going to be a terrible 4 years. Now, it's not that we're going to have some good things happen in these 4 years. Maybe the economy will recuperate, you know, will recover. Maybe, maybe not. But eventually it will get hammered by the fact that we have sold our president to Jewish interest. And that will cost us a war. There's already escalation with Russia, where I really liked the initial attitude of President Trump against Zelensky. But now he's losing all of this goodwill because he's going after Putin, threatening that he's going to put sanctions on Putin because Putin doesn't want a 30-day ceasefire. A 30-day ceasefire is something that only the Ukrainians need, because right now, Russian forces are able to do advances. Right now, Russian forces are positioned to punish Zelensky for for wanting to continue this war forever. So if you're an intelligent Trump who truly is interested in peace, you don't want to punish Putin. And you don't want to keep him from advancing. Because advancing is the only thing that will eventually put enough pressure on Zelensky that Zelensky can see, wow, maybe I'm about to lose Kiev, maybe I'm about to lose whatever, Kharkov, and I'm going to submit. What we are, what we have as a demand here on the Zelensky side is a ceasefire without anything in for Russia. You have to give something to Russia.
What is your opinion on deliberately pursuing an R strategy as Elon is doing? Our society has so much support for single moms, I could imagine a traveling athlete or musician doing that kind of thing very easily. What is your opinion on deliberately pursuing an R strategy as Elon is doing? Our society has so much support for single moms, I could imagine a traveling athlete or musician doing that kind of thing very easily.
Yeah, it's something I don't like. I don't like it. And it's kind of an abdication in front of the feminine urge to have polygamy. And so personally, there will always be something inside of me that fights against this and that doesn't want this to be the case. However, it's a totally decent strategy to settle in if you are cornered. So the way I approach it is, personally, I value a family-based society. Personally, I value monogamy. So all of my life, I have pursued monogamy. But what you have to know also is that you are exploitable if you are that way. Because a woman will tag you, will take your sperm for one baby, and then she's going to sterilize you. And then you're out there floating with a single baby produced, and ultimately your monogamy turned against you. And that's because you have been loyal to monogamy beyond what was required. The perfect equilibrium to have is as follows. Prioritize monogamy, and if a woman gives it to you, wow, perfect. Spend the rest of your life with her. Everything will be fine. And this is the situation I'm in right now. So I have a wonderful girlfriend. I have nothing to dream of beyond her. I would have actual difficulty finding even a theoretical example of a woman who would be better than her. So I cannot imagine finding an actual available woman better than her because she is the best. Now, if you find a candidate of this quality, you honor your monogamy toward her as long as she honors it toward you. Now, because of the state of the world, not everyone will have the chance to have this. And in fact, most of my life, I've been faced with women who wanted to steal my sperm and sterilize me after. That's why they try to destroy your life in family courts, by the way. It's not just emotional. There's also an evolutionary strategy. They got the sperm they wanted. They don't want you to succeed out there. Because if you succeed out there, suddenly you care, you have less amounts of inheritance and parental care delivery that you could eventually give to your children. So that's why they do the whole, I take your sperm and then within 3 months pregnant, I start ruining your life with false allegations. It's because they believe that false allegations will destroy your life and cut your ability to make further children. So the perfect equilibrium is be a monogamous person who automatically switch within an hour to the next woman if you get betrayed. If a woman doesn't honor her continued reproductive career with you. That gives you the best of both worlds. You get the escape from the monogamous trap, which is you get trapped into monogamy because the woman is not ready to make as many children as you should have, given that you've sacrificed your life for her. And you can switch to polygamy and get the advantage of polygamy once she has done the betrayal or once she has shown herself unwilling to host further babies. Netza says, isn't it better to get a bunch of different women pregnant too? I personally don't think it's better. Personally, I don't think there is richness in diversity that much. Personally, I think that I've seen big families. I am from big families that have made 7, 9, 11 children, that kind of numbers, and they all end up being employed, you know, they all end up doing something and having their own little families of 2, 3, 4 babies. So I don't see the point of diversifying here. In my experience, the most evolutionarily successful families are colonizer mentality, single man, single woman, together forever, making 10, 11 babies. That is how you maximize the human vagina. These Miami trips never end well. Her boyfriend left her because she got caught kissing at the club and put her out. I'm being a good person, taking her to the airport to go home. Oh, bro, she's 30. This is the end of your R career. You didn't make it in Miami, Florida because you betrayed your boyfriend. Now you're being driven to the airport to be brought back home, back to reality. Your R CV is worth nothing on the market. You're now 30 and worth nothing. And there she is, hanging out with black people. You can see that she was in a parallel universe. She got rooted out of whatever place she comes from. She was hanging out with black people as a black person driving her to the airport. Probably her boyfriend was black. Probably she was twerking with other black men. Man, Miami, Florida, what a shithole. I would never go there. Unless it's for a fresh and fit interview. Uncircumcised Circus says Miami has one of the highest abortion and STD rates. Absolutely. Oh, bro, I enjoy these tears. These tears of living a deceptive life, of a self-deceptive life. Jeff Younger says, we must break the back of the public school monopoly by any means necessary. Public schools are the origin of leftist indoctrination, transgenderism, child sex abuse, pornography distribution to kids. Break it, he says. I totally agree. Totally agree. Public schools are the channel for so much unhealthy stuff being promoted to children. Break it with homeschooling, break it with school choice. If parents can just have the option of, oh well, I've got abused, I've got my child abused there, I'm gonna move to some other place. And this whole idea that you force parents to a single school is this idea that this school cannot be wrong. And it's the beginning of monopoly and the idea that, yeah, you don't need an alternative because this school can make no error. It can only be good for your child. John Drake says, not much good to be found at the club. No, there is only trouble at the club. Troubled woman. That would not be a place where I would go try to get woman at a club. I mean, you can go into kind of a bistro, half bar, half restaurant. These places, you can find slightly higher class woman. But a dirty Miami club with black people in it? No. I'm never picking up a girl in those places, I can assure you. Those are very bad places. Now, a restaurant / classy bar, little bar, that is feasible. That is possible. A Russian captain of a Portuguese ship has been arrested for manslaughter after the ship T-boned, the U.S. flagged Stena Immaculate, which was carrying jet A1 fuel for the U.S. Department of Defense. The Solong's crew, mostly Russian nationals, made no effort to slow down before impact. Look at this. Is it an act of war? Was it just a crazy captain who just wanted to impale an American ship that was transporting fuel for the military? Or was it a governmental request? Is it an act of war by Vladimir Putin? It appears that the ship behaved like a torpedo. Went straight from here and just impaled the target. Look at this. So that's the ship, the Portuguese ship that's being handled by a Russian captain. And you can see it's aiming for this, I believe, or this one. Aiming for one of the orange Department of Defense U.S. ship. Look at how far it went, and it's like it just located the ship and targeted it from so far. Boom, never stops, just straight into it. Boom. Isn't it crazy? So was it an accident? Was it requested? Was it intentional? I have no idea. Vladimir Putin is now dressing in uniform. He is in Kursk. Russia will treat Ukrainian soldier captured in Kursk region as terrorist.
Люди, которые находятся на территории Курской области, совершают здесь преступления против гражданского населения, противодействуют нашим вооруженным силам, правоохранительным органам и специальным службам. В соответствии с законами Российской Федерации являются террористами.
And he's also saying that they will be treated as terrorists and foreign mercenaries are not covered by the Geneva Convention. Which means that they can be eliminated on the spot. So Putin is doing what he has to do in the current circumstance. Since we have a Zelensky that shows himself unwilling to discuss peace and not serious in what he offers, Putin must be at least presenting the threat of advancement, presenting the threat of bigger punishment for the Ukrainian army, presenting the idea that it's going to get harder for them if they keep going with the war. So that's the right thing to do. And I would say it's a relatively low-cost thing that he's doing here. It's a symbolic move to be moving to Kursk and be there present physically. But at the same time, it sends a message that, and it may illustrate that he's going to use these regions to advance further into the front line. DK Shadow says, U.S. is also playing the terrorism card with the cartels and their supporters. Exactly. So one of the things that Vladimir Putin loves to do is to mirror something that the U.S. does already. And so they can always argue, well, isn't it what everyone does? What all great power does? So they have been doing this for a long time, trying to mirror U.S. international politics. Wall Street Journal's chief foreign correspondent declares it's over for Ukraine in Kursk. It's a major turning point in the conflict when the chief foreign affairs correspondent for the Wall Street Journal declares that Ukrainian forces are now in a full-on withdrawal from Russia's Kursk amid rapid Russian gains. So you had a scene where at the center square of the town, you had the Russian flag raised, which is a sign that the area has been taken over by Russia. Blimpy Survivor says anyone battling Russia in Kirk's loses. Yes, I guess that was. At this point, it's fair to say that the entire city of Sudza is now under Russian control. While months ago Ukrainian forces occupied several hundred square kilometers of Russian territory in Kirk's region, as of Wednesday, that control has shrunk to less than 200 square kilometers, 77 square miles, according to the Ukrainian military-linked Deep State War Tracker. So that is the situation. I can't believe that Trump is now evoking the idea of threatening Putin with a punishment, because Putin does exactly what he needs to do for the peace talks to be effective. When you have one side that doesn't want the peace talks, you have to put pressure on them. Personally, I would have put so much more pressure. I would have just carpet bombed Kiev by this time. Kiev would be like Gaza. Now, that's just me. I'm a radical. I'm a stubborn guy, you know, and when you don't see the will in the other person's eye, I'm all about carpet bombing. But that's why they don't give me control of any military. Blimpy Supervisor says the largest tank battle in history was fought there with the Nazis. Oh yeah, I remember. I remember that name, Kirk's. Yes, I don't know much about the history of World War II, but that's an interesting fact. John Drake says Russia should only negotiate when they take Kiev. They may have to take everything to get peace. Exactly, but this is what I've been saying for how many years, John Drake? since the very first day of this war, I was like, why? Why isn't Putin apparently interested at chopping the head of the command hierarchy, which means targeting the high-level Ukrainian personnel, targeting Zelensky, targeting Zelensky's minister? I don't understand. Why, strategically, I'm not telling you that I have a dog in this fight. I don't care about the war that much. But why, strategically, why would you leave so much peace to Kiev? That I can't understand. Kiev basically is a rave whore center of attraction of the world. Why would you let this go on? Blimpy Survivor says they would nearly take Kiev back in 2022. Well, they didn't even try. They sent a column of military, but then Putin abandoned that column and nothing happened. I don't know that there was any serious excursion within Kiev. I don't remember any of this happening. Jack Posobiec says Mahmoud Khalil, now this gets weird, had security clearance from British government. So the guy that is now getting kicked out of the US without crime because he's pro-Hamas, he had security clearance from the British government? What the fuck is this? How does that work? Jeff Younger says, as I've told you many times, British intelligence services are actively subverting American society, American elections, and American foreign policy. Now, the thing is, we don't hear anything about this from Trump. If Trump was saying, no, he's not being kicked for ideological purposes, he's being kicked for being part of a hostile entity, and perhaps the British government is a hostile entity intelligence wise, I don't know. If a reason like this was given, I would be okay with it. But what depresses me is No, the only reason you're kicking this guy is free speech that's protected under the First Amendment. And how will this pass? Will this eventually be brought to the Supreme Court? I would hope so. Because it's not fair to attack someone on their immigration status for free speech. China, Russia, and Iran to hold nuclear talks in Beijing after Tehran snubbed Trump's offer. So apparently Trump has sent a letter to Iran. Iran said, we opened the letter, we looked at the letter, and we disregarded it. So it seems that perhaps it was some sort of threat letter that was trying to get Iran to sign a nuclear deal where they wouldn't acquire the nuclear weapon, something like this, or else we're going to do this and that. It seems that the threat has been ignored by Iran. At the moment that Iran's stock of uranium are coming very close to nuclear weapons grade, and as the Trump White House has resumed its maximum pressure policy on Iran, China is set to host a meeting with Beijing, with Russia and Iran. Friday's scheduled summit in Beijing will focus on the Iranian nuclear issue. The topping of the agenda will be developments related to the nuclear issue and the lifting of sanctions. The UN Atomic Watchdog has recently warned Tehran dramatically accelerating enrichment of uranium to up to 60% purity. The Iranians are within reach of achieving weapons-grade level of roughly 90% if they desire to pursue it. China has said that it supports Iran in safeguarding its legitimate rights and calling for an early resumption of the Iranian nuclear talks. Yeah, personally, I think that to fend off the aggressivity of the whole world, the whole American empire against Iran, I think it's a desirable outcome that Iran has the nuclear weapon. I don't see any cons. I think it will lead perhaps Israel to be more respectful of this regime. I think it might lead countries to stop taking for granted that they can control what happens in other countries. And so for sovereignty's sake, personally, I'm fine with Iran acquiring the nuclear weapon. And I know that that Trump will try to stop it and try to give you the argument that they need to be stopped. I don't see it. I don't see how Iran having a nuclear weapon endangers me. Blimpy Survivor says, Iran is one of the most interesting countries in the Middle East. Really hope they don't get destroyed. Yeah, that's what they're going to try to do. So going forward, in the coming weeks and months, what can we expect? Iran will say, we have the backing of China, we have the backing of Russia, we should be sovereign. Everyone else has these nuclear weapons, we want these nuclear weapons too. Israel will try to draw Trump into a war with Iran, and Trump will most likely buy it. That is most likely what Trump has sold to Miriam Adelson and to the other Jews. So we're headed toward a strike by the U.S. on Iranian soil of perhaps their nuclear facility. Perhaps we're going to get just a neutralization of their capacity to enrich. Perhaps we're going to get nuclear material being exploded into Iran and having radiations. I don't know how that will fare out. But we're going to get basically an attack of the American Empire onto Iran. And we'll see what happens from there. And this is why Putin has no interest at having a ceasefire in Ukraine, because these ceasefires are being sought for to liberate the mind of Trump and the mind of American intelligence to basically attack on another front, which is the Iranian front. It wouldn't be smart for Putin to make concessions for shows of goodwill at a time where basically he's going to have to deal with another situation very soon. Might as well spam the American Empire and let them know that you are aware of the danger coming from all sides. Rockin' Robin Hood says, "War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing." Ooh. If you would like to support the show, use the Streamlabs tip link. The Streamlabs link is in the description below. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. They give the best rate to your money in terms of supporting this show on the everyday. Former UFC champion BJ Penn. Man, that is so sad. BJ Penn apparently is a schizophrenic old man. I had respect for BJ Penn. I like the guy. But now he's... he's convinced that his mom is not his mom. That she's been replaced by a fake agent by the government to steal his inheritance. Oh man, that is so heartbreaking. Schizophrenia can be a hell of a disorder to deal with family. He's now publishing these videos observing his mom and saying she's an agent of the government.
What's up, Paul? Huh? Fuck you, cunt. Fuck you, what? You can only do this because you get the government behind you. Fuck you, like, get crazy. Fuck you. This lady right here, look at her ass and legs.
This lady right here, look at her ass and legs.
Acting like my 79-year-old mother.
It's his 79-year-old mother.
But she's not my 79-year-old mother.
But she's not his 79-year-old mother.
And it's interesting when you Google Lorraine Adelaide, our house pops up.
And when you Google her name, their house pops up.
Because this lady acts like Lorraine Adelaide. So you Google Lorraine Adelaide, and this house pops up, and then you look him, and then my mom's name starts popping up. She's trying to steal everything. And this is not my mother. And
that is called prosopagnosia. And it is, there is truly a conviction in schizophrenia. They see your face. They think that something changed in it. And something in their brain goes, that is not their true person. And they start not recognizing you and thinking that you must be some puppet of the government.
And I'm putting this up because she's saying that she's going to get an attorney and try to do something.
She has to get an attorney if he keeps going, because of course that's a case where I would if he's at the point of filming her and accusing her of not being herself, that's a dangerous point. Especially if you have a BJ Penn, you know, capable of violence, capable of eventually killing her, if he was very convinced by his IDs. Blimpy Survivor says, "The first time I took shrooms, I was convinced that I was in a dream, and the people around me were part of a Truman Show plot." Oh yeah, lots of these thoughts under psychotic. States
kind of throw me out, and if I attack her, she'll try to do something, TRO or something else. But she's
so she told him that if he attacks her, she's gonna do something. That's probably getting him under some probate order. Man, it is heartbreaking, because what do you do when you have a dangerous son who is schizophrenic? Well, she seems to have endured a lot at 79 years old, and she's never contacted a lawyer before, and she's never tried to force him into psychiatry. Wow. Respect to the lady here. But at this point, at this age, he should be on his own. He should be on his own. And it's at 79 years old, still caring for your schizophrenic child. That is rough, man.
Come on. Get off the road.
um, GMC says BG got dropped on his head too often. I don't know if you can become schizophrenia psychotic by brain damage. Perhaps it's totally possible. I don't know that we know that it is the case. But this is certainly not dementia. This is not the kind of psychosis of dementia. It is really just a complex hallucinations and thoughts of persecution, and it looks much more like schizophrenia. Now, dementia, you can definitely get it by brain damage, but schizophrenia, not known. Not known that you can. John Drake says, attorneys aren't going to fix this situation. Yeah, I mean, the best that could happen to him is if his mother let him go, perhaps by a spot or rent a spot for him to live isolated from her. But there's a point at which she has to protect herself. So it's a very complicated situation. Nick Fuentes explains how the entire Trump administration is preparing to back Israel's war and censor all Israel criticism across the nation.
Fire's going to collapse. The war in the Red Sea will restart, and Trump is going to go in hard to make an example out of them, to prove that he's tougher than Biden, stronger than Biden, that nobody messes with the United States. I said that'll be the beginning. Now, consider the timing. Consider the timing of all of this. January 19th, ceasefire starts. A few weeks later, in the middle of February, I think it was February 4th or 6th, Netanyahu visits the White House. And Trump says, we're going to expel everybody from Gaza. We're going to give you everything you need. A few days later, Trump gives Israel $4 billion in military aid, has continued to furnish them with military aid, released these 2,000-pound bombs that Biden was holding up, has supported Israel's actions in Syria, in Lebanon, supported Israel pulling out of the deal in Gaza. Now, the deal in Gaza fell apart in March. That means that slowly but surely, Israel is going to begin another ground invasion of Gaza. That's going to
absolutely. And he goes on to say, everything that you're seeing right now is not random. The Massey attack, for example, the attack on Thomas Massey is absolutely part of all this. Trump is building his war empire, and he's setting up for a comfortable position in which he can throw the signal, and we're going to be in a war in my second administration. So what we had feared, that he was at first being very good, at first making lots of victories that the conservatives and MAGA base could celebrate, all of this was a smokescreen for eventually the one thing that's hard to swallow. And very clearly, Trump is headed toward a Iran war, an intervention of some kind in Iran. U.S. lands on Soros-funded Human Rights Watch list alongside North Korea and China. The United States, a country historically touted as a beacon of freedom, has been added to a watch list of countries allegedly violating civil rights. Civicus, a leftist and Soros-founded organization, stands behind the list. Due to the Trump administration's assault on democratic norms and global cooperation, Civicus has added the USA to its watch list of countries with faltering civic freedoms. I happen to agree. I think it's disgusting what's happening right now in the U.S., I think the U.S. deserves to be on that list as long as there's this mixed message sent by the government, where on the one hand, it is very well known that anti-Semitism falls under the First Amendment. And on the other hand, you have executive orders that are saying by any means necessary, we will pursue these anti-Semites. And so the order says we're going to pursue anti-Semitic crimes. But then you see how the government interprets it. When they go after a green card holder that just has an opinion that's protected under the First Amendment when they go after protests in universities. By the way, this whole way in which Trump says, I'm going to defund these universities because there are protests. The problem is the university isn't the one organizing the protest. So you're basically saying that universities must have their own ideological police, their own pro-Israel police to locally implement to make sure that their students. It's nonsense. It's calling for oppression, these orders. It's calling for ideological oppression. And it's kind of dumping the responsibility on universities. So now universities, because they want these checks from the federal government, they have to police the thoughts of their students. That's ridiculous. Blimpy Survivor says, oh, you thought those deportations were going to be in your interest? Haha, no, it's for Israel. Yeah, well, that's really too bad. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, what a great man. He says, you can resolve to live your life with integrity. Let your credo be this. Let the lie come into the world. Let it even triumph, but not through me. That is how I see very much the world and my existence. I like the idea of accepting that the lie will be there, but also making it a job of you to not participate to it, to call it out when you have a chance, and also to make sure that through your silences you don't participate to it subversively. Doubting Thomas has sent a super chat on Rumble. He says, ask me anything, JF. Oh yeah, I did title the show Ask Me Anything, but that's because I didn't have a major news item to title with. He says, JF, are Christians pro-family despite the Bible's morality? The true line of the New Testament seems to be to prioritize self-actualization and outward altruism first and foremost. That's interesting. It's interesting because I believe that Christianity is a cult of breeding. But you're right. In spite of the Bible, the New Testament, not so much being a cult of breeding. So I believe that there is this, I believe this is when I talk about trickster printers. There you go with a beautiful illustration of a trickster printer. When I talk about trickster printers in chapter 9, the memes are subject to be sculpted. And what I believe has happened with Christianity is that you didn't need a book to be so much about breeding, and perhaps even Christianity may not be as successful of a breeding program if it had been explicitly in the book. And this is where I believe that there is a function of taboos, where taboos are also ways to disarm your receptivity, your blockades. You have military blockades in the way you process memes, okay? You check for stuff. You raise suspicion. If someone comes to me and says, JF, you have to give me $1 million and it's going to make you the most happy guy, and in fact, you're going to win back your $1 million, I can smell suspicion here. I can smell that something bad is being pulled on me. I'm being scammed. So I believe we have all these resistance elements in our brain to keep us from falling for bad memes. And it's possible that being too explicit about breeding may have been a weakness of certain ways of life and may have been discarded by evolution. So basically what you needed for a civilization to boom demographically, like European Christianity and its colonies, was probably a cult of breeding, but that doesn't acknowledge explicitly that it's a cult of breeding. And so you have the whole idea of Mary being inseminated by God, basically, not having been inseminated by men. That is one of the elements of the kind of the non-sexuality of the Bible, the kind of denial of real biological sex by the Bible. And I believe that, yes, if you listen to the message of Jesus Christ, it's almost like something that a hippie could say. You know, he's kind of hippie-ish, Jesus. He's very much about love, and it's kind of a Zen hippie philosophy for its time. It's not as bad as the true hippies of the 70s, but it's kind of on the continuum between a super conservative, self-oriented thinking and this kind of out there love of the other, love of the neighbor, turn the other cheek, self-sacrifice, monk style of mentality. So yes, I would say your reading is absolutely correct. I believe that Christianity is a is a pro-family religion in spite of its Bible, which is not so much. Now, to be fair, there are also lots of segments of the Bible, and I can see it through my girlfriend. There are lots of segments of the Bible that are about the family. They don't get mentioned very much if you go into a Catholic church and all, but there is plenty of guidance on how to be the perfect wife, the perfect husband. And I can see through my girlfriend that it's having a lot of effect. So I can feel the, because I know that when she does something good for me, I know that in her mentality, it is to follow the rules of the Bible. So there is plenty of pro-family stuff in the Bible. But you're right that the center story of it kind of has an element of denial. An element of denial on the true nature of the family. Blimpy Supervisor says, with the alternative path of monkhood for those really just into the liturgy. It's the esoteric message of Christianity to breed, but there's the alternative path of monkhood for those really just into the liturgy. Well, see, perhaps having come from a Catholic tradition, perhaps I've heard from too many monks, from too many, these priests in Catholic Church that are withdrawing from family making just to dedicate their life to religion. Perhaps that has given me a certain perspective on the Bible. This is so Middle Eastern. What the fuck? Men are now visiting barbers to have their eyelashes trimmed so that they look more masculine. What the fuck is this, bro? Keep your eyelashes. I have super long eyelashes. Doesn't create a feminine energy to my face. Guy Slapkins says, remember the cuck with 40 adopted babies from Trump's speech? I'm sure he justified his decision with Christianity. Well, he also had his own babies, so I guess in this case, the cucked babies came out as extra adoptions. But yeah, I'm pretty sure you see these Christian families that are totally into adoption. I'm not into it at all. Andrew Clavin says, the problem with arguing with anti-Semites is that they are genuinely as stupid as bricks. They say Christ is king and America first. Then they make excuses for Iran's government of radical Islamists. Look at this fucking snake. He's already onto the program of preparing the American mind for a war against Iran. He's already slipping it into this, you're a Christian? You're a Christian and you tolerate Iran's radical Islamist? That's not very Christian. These people are disgusting. Andrew Clavin is one of these. He's a Jew, but he's working for the Daily Wire and he's converted to Christianity. But somehow his view of Christianity is to be so to be so enslaved by Israeli interests that his arguments can't help but put yourself in a warmongering mood against Iran. They think Gentiles have tormented and persecuted Jews in one nation after another. So there must be something wrong with Jews. Really, Sherlock? They're not even smart enough to be feckless clowns. Jews are less than 3% of our population and have made amazing contributions in science, industry, finance, and entertainment. And that's not even mentioning the bagels. Oh, the bagels. And while Jews have their evildoers just like everyone else, the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about Nagasaki and Bolsheviks and Leo Frank are truly the work of semi-literate morons. I know they like to flood social media with ugly garbage. It's all they've got. But paying attention to them lowers your IQ more than fluoride and doesn't even help your thief. Best to leave them play with themselves. And Nick Fuentes has the proper response to this. Debate the so-called anti-Semites or shut the fuck up forever. These people, they want just to speak out their attacks, but they're not willing for it to be tested. Bring a Nick Fuentes to a Andrew Klavan one-on-one discussion. I would want to watch this one. I would like to see how he squirms his way out of this. Because, yeah, Nick Fuentes is a very intelligent guy. So, first and foremost, your assumption and claim about them being idiots is already invalidated by just the existence of Nick Fuentes. I was reading this, the court documents about the Tate brothers. You know, there's this whole, there's a schism happening where there's a bunch of people who are against the Tate brothers, and some people are saying the conservatives, the right-wingers, shouldn't pay attention to these guys because they're criminals, they're human traffickers. And in my view, it truly doesn't matter whether they've been engaged in past wrongful things. I do not stand with exploitation of women, pimping, human trafficking. But at the same time, if they have good thoughts to share with humanity going forward, I'm not going to say you're canceled forever because you've done something in your past that I disagree with. And as far as human trafficking goes, I think there's such a disbalance in how we treat men versus women. Because that's it's basically, the pimping game is a business in which a partner, men and women partners, get together, and obviously the body of the female is the thing to be exploited. And so obviously the male has adjacent roles to it. The male can manage your OnlyFans, the male can manage your schedule, the male can tell you, this angle, you look better than this angle in terms of photo. But of course, ultimately, we are talking about exploitation of the female body. But exploitation that is done by a team of two, in which these bitches constantly subscribe consensually to this exploitation. So to be unilaterally punishing the males for this, I take issue with this. So personally, I don't hold the past of the Tate brothers against them. It's something that I disagree with. I don't like the idea of prostitution, and online prostitution is filled with deception. But I don't care. That doesn't mean that what they have to bring ideologically to the table isn't valid. Now, I was looking at the evidence of the police case, and they're arguing that there's some sort of kidnapping here. Tristan Tate would have said, "You just so that's when one of their hoes wants to run away from the house. She runs away to a police station. And she says, I don't want to do cam. They're forcing me to do cam whoring. Tate Tristan says, yes, I'm kicking her out. There's no rational solution with bitches. Kick them out hard, and if they come back, they come back. Georgiana says, I want my money back or I'll cut her tits off. Tristan says, kick her out, take her things and take them to your house. Keep all the stuff for now. Her breast cost me 1,500 euros. Valentin worked them cheap for me. Bro, you had a breast surgery for $1,500? 1,500 euros? That is a cheap breast surgery. Valentin worked it cheap. Can you believe this? This girl got Valentin to do the job on the cheap to inflate her boobs. Oh my god. We can do that with her account. Nothing you say will help. The move now is as follows. Both of you go get her out of the house. Hit her if you have to. I don't care. Don't let her take her things. When you kick her out, keep her stuff in Georgiana's car. So Kent, give it to her if she comes back later. Throw her out of the house with nothing. Georgiana, you've seen me do this 10 times. Go and do it now, both. Okay, so this looks to me like the expulsion of a hoe from this place. I don't have strong judgment. The problem with... So this was the girl, apparently. This was her 1,500 boobs. I cannot believe this. Valentin will do it on the chief. Luana Radu was a police officer turned model on OnlyFans. Well. Yeah, so, I mean, expulsion of a problematic hoe is always at the intersection between legitimate action and violence. The problem is, what are you going to do? Ultimately, you are the owner of the place. If she refuses to leave, she is in trespass. You are entitled to have her taken out. You're in Romania. Of course, the police will not come and do this. So you have to do it yourself. I find nothing super scandalous here, other than the fact that, yes, it was exploitation of women, and they were investing into these women. They were losing money sometimes when the woman wasn't reliable. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, when I say JD Vance is owned by Palantir/APAC, I often get those companies aren't that bad, and most of the people promoting war are liberals who like DEI, so they hate JD Vance. Thoughts? Well, I get this, that Palantir is not the traditional neocon, you know, example of, say, you know, when Michael Moore was criticizing the wars and he was bringing you Halliburton and these big missile builders for the U.S. These people have cashed out from the U.S. military industrial complex. Palantir is different because it has less history, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's a bunch of people, Jews, who put together a public campaign to convince of the idea that a certain war is legitimate. They cash out on this war by offering services to the American government, arguing, well, you need this missile to win this war. Palantir is just the same thing, but instead of selling an entire missile, they sell more like AI services and that kind of stuff. So, and targeting algorithms and computer-based tech. So, to anyone who says, well, JF, they're not as bad, I would answer, historically, they have less history. So you have less to reproach to them than you have to a traditional neocon military industrial complex company. But down the line, 20 years, it's going to be the same. They're going to have been at the heart of enrichment from the war with Iran instead of the war with Iraq. It's going to be the same. Blimpy Survivor says they think Palantir equals Silicon Valley, which is liberal, but it's little tech, no big tech. And Peter Thiel is a gay Jew. Absolutely. And there's a reason why these guys invest so much in public thought control. You know, you'd be stupid to be Peter Thiel, to be having all of these little stables of X accounts that you're building up over the years, your public appearances. All of this is meant to acquire some sort of power, some sort of influence to eventually cause something and enrich from it, enrich yourself with it. And so to anyone who says Palantir is not a problem because they've not done evil stuff in the past, I would say, do we have to wait for the evil to call it out? Because it's pretty transparent what's happening here. Justin Trump says to Irish PM, you're better off not knowing Rosie O'Donnell. Why in the world do you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level. Do you know you have Rosie O'Donnell? Do you know who she is? You're better off not knowing this. Trump still funny with his Rosie O'Donnell attacks. Rosie O'Donnell was appearing recently on a video saying that she had to leave the U.S. until it became again a place where women have rights. She's scared for her abortion rights in the U.S. Silver Spider says, seem like any argument about warmongering has to refer to history. People forgot the Bush years. By the way, these super chats only allow 200 characters, not as much as Odyssey. Well, anyways, my preference is for Streamlabs super chat. Now, are the Streamlabs super chat limited? Because this I could easily change. Tips, allow tip design settings. Max message length 255. I can put it higher. I can put it at 400. Oh no, their maximum is 255. So it was already at the max. Sorry, Streamlabs doesn't allow more than this, but you can send two, I guess. You can send two, and I will have them read one after the other. The Jack Acid says, I can't remember what Rosie O'Donnell is even famous for. I think she's a stand-up comedian. But I don't remember any woman ever making me laugh as a stand-up comedian, so she must have been bad. I'm sure she was doing these vagina jokes, something like this. Like, I have a vagina! they always converge to this, these female comedians. They're incapable of talking about anything else. The Republican Jewish Coalition will join Trump in backing a primary challenge to Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey. So this is not random. The Republican Jewish Coalition. This is really... Trump didn't care about the vote of Thomas Massey. Trump was asked by the Jews to do his attack on Thomas Massey to clean out the American Congress in preparation for war. That is what's happening here. They want to secure a very pro-Israel public space, they want America to basically be melded into its interest with Israel such that it's the same thing and you can't question this. And if you question this, we can deport you. Jack Dorsey, former CEO of Twitter, says his account has been locked on X, locked for 12 hours. Now, I've seen that it was unbanned, so it seems that it may have been an error. But Jack Dorsey had tweeted a little link to his Cash App or something, and it probably got detected as spam because there was no comment. He wasn't saying anything. But of course, he was probably just promoting this as being involved in the thing. John Drake says they can't afford another Massey. They want a message sent. Exactly. It's a crackdown on dissent, what we're seeing. A crackdown on dissent, very worrying. Now, that is all I had to say for tonight. Much love to everyone here, and we'll cut the show, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Those are very dark times, and I believe we are headed for war times. Because then what will happen? What will happen with Russia, China, once they see that we bombarded Iran?